Today, the credit monster still stalks the halls. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Once again, on the last working day, we get the latest credit data from both the RBA and APRA. And fair enough, this is before the election and the recent spate of unnatural acts designed to kickstart credit growth, but the trends before this are clearly down. And here, we're talking about the net stock of loans rather than new loan flows. So we will see the net of old loans closed, refinanced, and new loans written. We'll need to wait for the ABS series in a couple of weeks to get the flow stats. Now, the RBA provides an overview and a seasonally adjusted series, including the non-bank sector. APRA provides data for the banking sector, ADIs, or authorised depository institutions. And total credit in the system is still growing, with housing lending up to $1.83 trillion, with owner-occupied lending accounting for $1.23 trillion, and investor loans $0.59 trillion. Business lending was $0.96 trillion, and personal credit was $146 million. So you can see how significant housing credit is, and yes, it is still growing, even if more slowly. Of that $1.83 trillion for housing, $1.68 trillion comes from the banks, as reported by APRA. And of that, $1.12 trillion is for owner-occupied housing, and $0.55 trillion is for investors. The rest is non-banks, institutions who can lend, but who do not fund those loans from holding bank deposits. And APRA, of course, now has responsibility for these too, but they don't seem to be actively engaged. So to the rate of change of credit growth. We know that housing credit growth has been slowing as demand has slowed and lending standards have tightened in response to APRA's interventions and the Royal Commission. But the stark reality is that business lending is also flat, according to the RBA. In fact, last month, total credit grew by only 0.16%, and that's the weakest since early 2013. Overall housing credit was up by 0.29% in the month, and personal credit declined by 0.3%. Annual credit growth slowed to 3.7%, the weakest since November 2013, and the trends are clear. Slowing housing credit growth is a large element in the numbers as we've been tracking, and the latest annual figure is just 3.9% growth, and this is the lowest ever seen in the series, which started way back in the late 1970s. Looking at the three-month series, you might argue that the rate of decline is easing just a little, but there is not much really here to get excited about. Of course, most of the commentators are now looking ahead, following the coalition return to power. The RBA, I think, will cut rates on Tuesday, which is the first cut since August 2016. And of course, APRA is consulting on a proposal to loosen the interest rate buffer test. I won't repeat here the significant downside forces, which will make a rebound in housing lending difficult, other than to say the coalition has promised a home price recovery, so they have to try and engineer it at any cost, even if the debt balloon inflates further. Investor housing momentum is still very weak, and there is little to suggest this will change soon, though some might try to sell into any more optimistic seasons that might appear. So it's down to first-time buyers and those seeking to trade up. Hi, excuse the interruption, but if you are getting value from this post, please consider subscribing to DFA if you haven't already done so, or ring that bell for custom alerts. Plus, please consider supporting our efforts. You can make a one-off donation via PayPal, here's the link, or subscribe via Patreon for as little as $3 US a month, or more, to get access to exclusive additional content. The links are in the comments below. And thanks for supporting what we do. It's really appreciated and makes it possible for us to continue to make more great content. Turning to business credit, this grew by 4.5% over the past year, up from 3% in 2017, but is easing back from gains of 6.4% in 2015 and 5.5% in 2016. In fact, this is a really important issue as business lending and confidence are both easing back, not a good sign. And APRA's data showed that owner-occupied lending rose 0.38% in the month, investor lending was flat, and the market growth was just 0.3%. And our analysis of the individual bank data shows that housing market shares did not change that much, although CBA and Westpac were more active in net terms last month, though mainly in owner-occupied lending. NAB and ANZ dropped more investor loans, and the 12-month portfolio moves for investor loans reveals the majors below the market. Macquarie and HSB are in fact leading the charge. But a comparison of the gap between the bank lending and the RBA data shows that the non-banks are still growing their books a lot faster. Overall, they're running at an annualized rate of 7.8%. And analysis of owner-occupied lending by non-banks shows that it's still at around 12% growth compared with 2.1% for investor loans, both above system. So standing back, the pre-election trends were weakening, the non-banks were making hay, and investors are still on the sidelines. Now, it will be interesting to see if the so-called sentiment swing and the hype shows up in the numbers the next couple of months. But to state the obvious, a growth rate of 3.9% for credit for households, even now, is way stronger than wages growth or inflation. So the debt burden is building further, and yet the policy settings are about to be shifted to encourage more of the same. Hardly sensible, in my view. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.